You are beautiful beyond description, too marvelous for words, too wonderful for comprehension, like nothing ever seen or heard. And who can grasp your infinite wisdom? Can fathom the depths of your love. You are beautiful beyond description, majesty enthroned above. And I stand in awe of you. Stand in awe of you. You are beautiful beyond description, too marvelous for words, too wonderful for comprehension, like nothing ever seen or grasp your infinite wisdom. Who can fathom the depths of your love? You are beautiful beyond description, majesty enthroned above. And I stand in awe of you, holy God, to whom all praise is due. I stand in awe of you, and I stand in awe of you. 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 Holy God, to whom all praise is due. I stand in awe of you.
Praise the Lord. Just lift your hands and welcome the presence of God in this place today. Just say, welcome, Holy Spirit. Have your way in my life. Have your way in my home and family. Have your way in my nation. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Will you sing that chorus one more time? I stand in awe of you.
I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you, holy God, to whom all praise is due. I stand in awe of you.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Just thank Him for His faithfulness. Thank Him for His goodness in your life. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. Somebody just say, I receive you, Lord. It's my Savior, my healer, my deliverer, my provider, my joy, my peace, my breakthrough. Hallelujah. I think sometimes it's so easy for us to focus in on our own ability to do or not do things. And we need to remember His supernatural ability to do things for us that we cannot do ourselves. The biggest thing we need to do is believe the Word of God. Speak the Word of God, believe the Word of God, stand on the Word of God. Take our eyes off of ourselves, put them over onto Jesus. Our eyes off of the problem and over onto the promise of the Word of God. Hallelujah. We might just need to do a little bit of a heart search for a moment here, and just if there's areas in your life where you drifted from looking at the promise to looking at the problem, just repent of it. That's a sin, man. I've done it. I probably did it this week more than once. Say, Lord, I apologize for taking my eyes off of your word and focusing in on the problem and making the problem seem so big in my mind. I come back to the promise of your word. If I said anything that was opposite of your word, I repent of it. And I receive my cleansing of it, my correction. And I stand in awe of you. It means I put you first in my mind, in my mouth, in my heart, every area of my life. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. Let's sing that chorus one more time. I stand, I stand.
Hallelujah. I stand, I stand in all of you. 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 Holy God, to whom all praise is due. I stand in all of you.
Hallelujah. Just sing a song of praise to the Lord. Ye la bamba shoti ala babo kune. Ye la rabe bisho ne ala baba shoto neya. Be exalted, O Lord, in our praises, O God. Ye sholova mashiteya. The blood of Jesus cleanses us today. Hallelujah for the blood that flows through our families today, O God. He's separating us from the curse in the name of Jesus. Separating us from sin over to holiness, O Lord. Separating our families from lies to truth, O God. Ye la rab, we praise you for the mighty power in the blood, the mighty power of the blood of Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Glory, 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 glory. Glory, glory.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I just see in my spirit like the children of Israel crossing through the Red Sea, and there's walls of water. And I see that as the blood of Jesus. You're walking through walls of the blood of Jesus to your promised land.
Thank you, Jesus.
You're surrounded by walls of protection of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Walls of deliverance. Walls of freedom. Walls of the great love of God. Walls of the great judgment of God against your enemies. Walls of the great mercy of God. The great power of God. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. One more time, I stand in awe of you.
I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand in awe of you.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
We thank you, Father God.
We thank you, Father God. We thank you, we thank you, we thank you.
Thank you, Jesus.
For your mighty power in and over our lives.
Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. You may be seated this morning in the presence and power of the Lord. Somebody say, that's why we come to church. Oh, there's such power in getting together and worshiping God and just standing in His presence together. Amen. Well, welcome Pastor Shelley this morning.
Whew. I don't know about you, but I believe God is about to do something. I've just had such an excitement about this season, not just for our church, but for the church at large. All week, there's an old song that my aunt and uncle and their kids used to sing as a group, and it was the, I just feel like something good is about to happen. You ever heard that song before? I just feel like something good is about to happen. I just feel like something good is on its way. He has promised that He'd open all of heaven. And brother, it could happen any day. Oh, I just love that. Love that song. I just feel like something good is about to happen. You should be telling yourself that every morning when you get up. I feel it. I just feel like something good is about to happen. Amen? Because you're going to feel something. So you might as well tell yourself what you're going to feel. Right? Instead of having yourself tell you, oh, we're going to be down today, or we're going to be depressed. No, you just get up. I just feel like something good is about to happen. Amen? And so there's just an anticipation in my heart for what God is about to do. And it's not a coincidence. This is on purpose. Amen? God doesn't do accidents. He doesn't do just so happened. No, He does everything on purpose. Amen? And so as we enter this time of fasting, I just want to encourage you. I know Steve's going to go into a lot of this. But remember when you're fasting that it's not a time of sadness. And a lot of times when people fast, they think that they have to like be sad and mope around. No, the Bible says wash your face, get on joy, and nobody should even know you're fasting. Why? Because the joy of the Lord is just radiating out of you. Amen. When Moses came off the mountain after doing his fasting, he didn't look sad. He glowed. Amen. And now, so we should be glowing. People should say, what in the world is going on with you? Not in a bad way, but in a, you glow. And you can say, oh, let me tell you about it. Amen. So remember, a spirit of praise. Get up during this fast every day. I just feel like something good is about to happen. Tell the Lord, I'd love it to be today. Amen. This is the day of salvation. Well, we're continuing on with our tithes and offerings, and I love how God just orchestrates everything. I pray over our worship songs when I get them together, because I believe there's a flow that God wants to take us through. And when you stand in awe of what God has done, it reminds you what he's already done. It reminds you what he's capable of doing today, and anticipation for what he'll do tomorrow. Amen. And that's where we're actually going to be talking about in our tithes and offering. And it's the C of our ABCs. So we had acknowledge where your wealth comes from, bring God's gift first, and then I had the hardest time with this word. Conscious, is that right? There we go. Of why you're bringing your gifts. Why are you bringing your gifts? And we're going to go to Psalm 116. And it says this: what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I take the cup of salvation and I call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord, yea, in the presence of all his people. I will pay my vows unto the Lord, yes, in the presence of all his people. It was almost like David went forward in time and knew churches would gather, and they would bring their tithes and offerings in front of everyone, right? They're bringing forth their vows to the Lord. They're bringing forth what they've already promised to give. When you become a Christian and a tither, your promise is, I bring my 10%. And then whatever else he directs you to give. Amen? Don't let it stop at the 10%. Listen to his voice. Be obedient, because you don't know what that offering will do, what that last little push will do to push forward in your circumstance. But when you bring your tithes and offerings, you need to be conscious. It shouldn't just be, I don't know where my tithes and offerings went. I thought I had it up here. Anyway, it shouldn't just be flippant. Oh, here you go. Not ritualistic. That's what the Pharisees and the Sadducees were doing in front of Jesus. It was just, yeah, here's our gold, here's our silver, look at all this wealth. It was flippant. Don't be flippant when you give your gifts to the Lord. You come with a consciousness. What does this verse start with? In verse 12, it says, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits? Or another word you could use here is blessings. All the blessings. When you come and bring your tithes and offerings, it should be with an understanding of, oh my goodness, I know what God has already done. And I am in awe. I am in awe of what he has done in my life. Have you ever just to stop and think back of what God has done for you? You know, sometimes we get caught up in today. We get caught up in, and David says we're supposed to look back to recount all the things that God has done. And when you realize what God has done for you in your lifetime, bringing your 10% should be like, Lord, like he says here, it's an honor. What can I bring to the Lord for all the blessings that he's given to me? The least I can do is fulfill my vows in front of everyone. I'm making a declaration with my tithes and offerings that he has done so much for me. I just can't wait to come into his presence and give back to him. There is an understanding of what God has done already in your life when you're bringing your tithes and offerings to his presence. You're saying, Lord, I am so grateful. I am not just putting this in here with a whatever attitude. I am putting this in because I know that I know that I know you've been faithful. And if you have been faithful in the past, you will be faithful again. That's why tithes and offerings there should be a reverence, but it should be a joy. There should be joy in this, because you know that as you place that 10% in, God is blessing the 90. What does that mean? It means it's going to go as far as you need it to go. Amen? We don't have the timelines, but aren't you so glad that we have the past to remind us that God has always been faithful? It may have arrived 30 seconds before it was overdue. But it arrives, Amen. I was listening to Jeremy Pearson this morning. He was talking about how much God had done in his life. Again, coincidence? Mm-mm. On purpose. On purpose. It was like the Lord saying, here's another testimony. And he was saying this. He said, our lives are like driving a car. And what does Psalms 23 say should be in our rearview mirror? Goodness and mercy. And what are they doing? They're following you all the days of your life. So you're looking in the rearview mirror, not only for what God has already done, but as a reminder, if you look in your rearview mirror, goodness is waving at you. I'm catching up. Here I come. Here I come to bless you again. Because God doesn't just bless once. He doesn't just, you know, sometimes we feel like, oh, well, it's kind of like the lottery. You probably only win once in your lifetime. I'm here to tell you today, God is not a lottery. He's a purposeful giver. There's no chance involved. There's no coincidence involved. He is an on-time, all the time, always the same God who will bless you in the past. He'll bless you today. And guess what? Look in your rearview mirror, because tomorrow, goodness and mercy are running you down to bless you again. Amen? So when you bring your tithes and offerings, you smile. God, devil, you thought you had me this week. Uh-uh. Watch this. See this right here? This is my tithes. Watch that. Boom. Can't touch me. Can't touch my stuff. And if you try to touch my stuff, you're a thief, and you got to pay back sevenfold. Amen? Amen? So when you bring your tithes and offerings, I want you to think about when you're writing your check, Lord, thank you. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you that you have always provided and you're still going to be providing today. I praise you, Lord. This is not something light. I am so excited to come into your presence and honor you with my first fruits. Amen? Amen. Be conscious about it. There was one thing I wanted to read to you really quick about a commentary on this. And it says this: the psalmist was not one of those thoughtless, indifferent men who passed through their life receiving all, enjoying all, expecting all, or expecting all without ever bestowing a thought on the bountiful giver. On the contrary, he seems to have been so overwhelmed by the magnitude and the multiplicity of God's benefits that he scarcely knew how to express his gratitude. That should describe us. We should be so overwhelmed by the magnitude and the multiplicity. What does that mean? It's multiplying. We don't use that word a lot, but it's multiplying and multiplying and multiplying and multiplying the benefits of God in our lives. We should come and be like, just like the song, I'm in awe. I'm in awe, God, of what you've done and what you're going to do. Amen? You guys believing for God to do something amazing in this next month? Amen. Well, it's going to start this morning with our tithes and offerings. This is our first act, really, of a fast, is we're going to give. We're going to plant a seed. Amen? And in the days and weeks to come, I encourage you, I believe God is going to begin whispering on your hearts about offerings above and beyond your tithes, above and beyond your mission. So be listening. Why do I know that? Because he's already doing it to me. And if he starts at the top, it trickles down. Be obedient, because you know what? He's not trying to get your money. There's something coming. There's something coming, and he's saying, break it through, break it through, break it through. And a lot of times it comes in the form of an offering. Amen? So grab your tithes and offerings this morning. Father, we just praise you for this word. As we are learning the ABCs of what tithing is all about, Father, we just thank you that today we are becoming conscious givers who are giving with a purpose, because we have been so blessed, the magnitude of your blessings. If we were truly to sit down and remember all you've done in the past, where you've brought us from, to where we are now, to where you're taking us, we should be overwhelmed by the magnitude of it. That when we bring our gifts, we're like, whoa, God, you are so incredibly good. I am just honored to bring you my gift today. I pray, Lord, you'd move on our hearts and our minds and our lives if we're supposed to be giving gifts that are above and beyond during this special season, Father. I pray you would show us what to give, lead us, direct us, guide us, and that we would be obedient, Father, because we don't want to miss out, Father, on what you want to do in our lives. Change us, Lord. Mold us. Make us, Father. If you've got to break things off, then gently break them off so that we can become the body that you've called us to be in these last days. Blessed to be a blessing. And we praise you for your faithfulness today. Bless every seed that is sown and bless the giver today. We thank you, Father, that something good is about to happen and we're going to be a part of that. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.
Well, let's pray over today's message and get right into it. Father, in Jesus' name, I want to thank you for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear what your Spirit would say to us today. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen and amen. Well, we're going to, be participating as many as feel a tug from the Holy Ghost to participate. This is not an arm-twisting thing. This is an invitation. Amen? 21 days of prayer and fasting. Somebody say prayer and fasting. Don't forget the prayer part. Amen? And prayer is something we should be doing all year long, but fasting is more of that thing we might do at times. Amen? And, we are in the last of the last days. And if you haven't noticed, it seems like the enemy has upped his intensity. He gets crazier and crazier and crazier as the days go by, right? And so fasting is something we can do to push back against what the devil is doing. And some things it's about being a Christian are just things we should be in the habit of doing. How many thinks Christians should be in church? How many thinks Christians should be reading their Bibles? How many thinks Christians ought to be worshipers? How many think Christians should be people that are loving people? How many think Christians ought to be tithers? Right? How many think Christians ought to be fasters? Oh, wait, hold on. And it's important to remember when we're fasting, anything we do for the Lord. Going to church, tithing, we're not doing anything that we do for the Lord to earn something from him, right? Any of these things that we do for God can become a source of pride. Well, I fasted today and you didn't. Well, I read 14 chapters in Leviticus, okay, in the old King James. Huh? No, we do what we do because we love the Lord and we're led by the Spirit of God. Amen? And this Kenneth Copeland Ministries has put out an invitation, Pastor George Pearson's, to the body of Christ, really, to come alongside together and do what's called a corporate fast. Now, Karen brought me this really cool book from Dr. Richard G. Lee called In God We Still Trust. Thank you, Karen. And I just opened it up, and the first thing that jumped out to me was a section of the book about fasting. So see, fasting isn't just a church idea. The founding fathers of our nation, national leaders, political leaders, often, sometimes, if they're smart, will call a fast. Because there's something bad happening and we'd like it to stop. Pastor George said that in Tarrant County in Texas down there, that the mayor or somebody during all the shutdowns, I refused to say, oh yeah, back in COVID, I call it the shutdowns. the government overreach. Right. Yes, there was a disease. Yes, all that, yes. But the mayor called a time of fasting and prayer. The mayor did. And I wanted to read to you as we get into this. And the scripture that's used here is humility. Turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. Joel 2:12. I think Joel is a credible source. in the Bible, you know, there's some people that hand out prophet cards. I'm a prophet. You should listen to me. Well, Joel is a actual prophet. Yes, there's a book in the Bible named Joel. Right? So fasting is about turning ourselves to God, turning away from something and turning more to the Lord. So when Steve this week says no at 11 o'clock in the morning to a donut, I'm going to be turning away from a donut and turning to the Lord. And when I'm thinking about the donut, and my stomach is reminding me, time for a donut. Because see, I've already been in a lot since the shutdowns. I just started moving into this in my mornings of fasting breakfast many times and praying and just believing God to break through, man. Right? And so around 11 o'clock, I'm thinking about a donut. But no, not for 21 days anyway. And there's some things that we lay aside when we fast that we may just not ever come back to. There was a time where I put milk aside. The doctor told me, you need to stop drinking dairy because it's bad for you right now. And I did. I really enjoyed milk, cold glass of milk and a cookie or a piece of bread with peanut butter. Isn't it great? You start talking about fasting and you start thinking about all the food you like, right? But I'll tell you what, I set milk aside and now I don't even like milk. I lost the taste for it. What I do like is almond milk. That's likely going to be on my list of things to lay aside because I like it. I like it. I like it. Amen. So it's you know, we'll get into this. But this is from, here. I'll just read to you as it says here. After the Boston Tea Party, the British Navy retaliated by blocking the port of Boston. The colonies surrounding Massachusetts responded. Somebody say respond. See, fasting is often a response to an attack from the devil. And I don't know about you, but back in 2020, I lost my appetite for lunch, man. All these people shoving sandwiches through their masks, that was disgusting to me. I mean, then you're breathing it, and it just didn't feel right. It's like something is really not right, and I can say no to lunch or breakfast or whatever for a season and just really press in to this thing, right? Amen? So somebody say fasting is a response to the devil's attacks. Amen. The colonies surrounding Massachusetts responded with sympathy and action. Fasting is an action, man, right? On May 24, 1773, the House of Burgesses in Virginia proposed and approved a day of fasting, humiliation, and prayer. It says this, the House being deeply impressed with apprehension of the great dangers. Don't you know we're living in a time of great dangers right here in the U.S. and around the world, right? To be derived to British America from the hostile invasion. Did you know we're living in a time of hostile invasion? Just ask Israel, right? Of the city of Boston in our sister colony of Massachusetts Bay, whose commerce and harbor are the first day of June next to be stopped by an armed force, deem it highly necessary that the first day of June be set apart. Somebody say highly necessary. Why are we fasting? Because it's highly necessary to set apart a little piece of the calendar. To set apart the donut, right, amen? By the members of this house is a day of fasting, humiliation, and prayer, devoutly to implore the divine interposition for averting heavy calamity. There is heavy calamity ahead if we do not avert it. Fasting and prayer and God's people taking action will avert heavy calamity. So even if it's just us and a few other people around the country that join together in a time of prayer and fasting, we will together avert heavy calamity planned by Satan and his followers. This is serious business, man. More serious than a donut. Hallelujah. Or Golden Grahams. It's another thing I like, man. And Sam will be fasting Golden Grahams too, my dog. Because we gather together early in the morning often by the laptop, and I have my Bible and my prayer, my coffee, and a box of whatever sugar cereal is in the Golden Grahams, Sugar Smacks. Notice how they took the word sugar off the boxes? But it's still sugar. It's just Golden Smacks now. It's not sugar frosted. It's frosted. Frosted with what? Frost. And me and Sam will sit, and Sam knows. He's a biblical dog. He looks for stuff that falls on the ground under the table. And you'll hear something. So Sam's going to be fasting too. It'll just be plain old Cheerio for a while. Maybe forever. Sometimes when we fast something, the Lord has our health in mind too. And we just may not go back to it. Hallelujah. Karen, thank you for this book. This is amazing. For averting heavy calamity which threatens destruction to our civil rights and the evils of civil war, to give us one heart and mind firmly opposed by all just and proper means, every injury to American rights, and that the minds of His Majesty and His Parliament may be inspired from above with wisdom, moderation, and justice to remove from the loyal people of America all cause of danger from a continued pursuit of measures. It's old, you know, old English, but we get it, right? Pergant with their ruin. The devil has planned ruin. If you haven't noticed, he wants to ruin America. He wants to ruin Israel. He wants to ruin Christianity. He wants to ruin the family. He wants to ruin relationships between males and females and nationality. He is the prince of ruin. And there is a biblical response to his attempts to steal, kill, and destroy, one of them being a time of prayer and fasting. Glory to God. So this is not a time to mourn for ourselves. It's a time to be praying and pressing, believing God. Amen. One of my, things that we watch can be on that list. Do we need to put away social media? It's between you and the Lord. Social media, stuff that you just crave doing. Gotta know, right? Certain things we watch on television. I don't need to see the halftime show of the Super Bowl. I'll be watching the Super Bowl, but I'll fast the commercials. And I don't need to pig out during the Super Bowl. On Valentine's Day, we have a special Valentine's dinner. My family, it's a special thing to us. But I don't need to be eating chocolate all day long because it's Valentine's Day. So it's really between you and the Holy Spirit. But there are some things that can just be set aside, can be set aside or reduced. Amen? And this is what I wanted to touch on this morning was Pastor George. He has, and I think it came from Brother Copeland originally, but he calls it a fasting checklist. And I printed out a bunch of these directly from their ministry that you're welcome to take with you. If I didn't make enough of them, it's emic.org/fast, I believe. And you can actually download this. You can listen to a number of messages just to get teaching about fast, biblical fasting and all these kind of things. Because you want to be biblical, right? We want to do this biblically accurate. But it's really not complicated. You lay something aside and you pray instead. And there's different types of fasts. There's biblically, we see people that did a three-day fast with nothing but probably but water. We've heard of some that have done 40-day fasts, right? And the 21-day fast comes out of Daniel. And here's the scriptures here in Pastor George's notes. Our foundation scripture is Daniel 10, 2, and 3. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant food. Somebody say, no pleasant food. So I was joking with the family the other day. Part of the dinner was broccoli. And I said, oh man, bummer. This is the last time I'm going to eat broccoli for 3 weeks. Got to pray, man. Got to sacrifice. We're laughing. You know, yeah, right. Like I crave broccoli. No, it's about things that you crave. A lot of times at dinner, you know what I crave? Seconds. Thirds. Maybe you can tell if I stand this way. Just kidding. Amen. My afternoon coffee, I crave it. And a cookie that goes with it. You know, coffee always has something that goes with it. Well, it's going in the name of Jesus. Sports radio. When I'm in the service industry during the week, so I drive around town, and around 11 o'clock, Lane knows because I've trained him well. We listen to preaching and ministry, but at 11 o'clock, we like to get a little bit of sports radio and have a donut or something and a coffee or something, right? It's a craving. And sports radio for me goes together with snacking. I get hungry. I hear someone talking about the NFL or basketball or this. Okay, time for snack. Snack, 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 snack. Some things we watch on television, same way. So I'm going to be subbing out things that I normally would be watching. This week, I know we have, you know, the Victory Network is always on. So instead of watching, you know, certain things on television or whatever that are just for enjoyment, reducing that and watching more somebody preaching to me. This week, there's two conferences on. Rick Renner has an online conference, if you go to renner.org. Online conference, I think it's Monday, Tuesday, Thursday. And Keith Moore has the Greater Faith Conference going all week long at morelife.org, I believe is what it is. And they're East Coast, so it'll probably start around 4 and go till about 7, our time. The Rick Renner one will probably start about 5 and go till about 8, our time. Just something to be remembering in terms of a substitute. Instead of turning on sports, Steve, turn on somebody preaching to you. Or some worship. You know, what music that we listen to. Sub out the trash for the truth. Amen. Right? So I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant food, no meat or wine came into my mouth. Things that we drink. Right? So I'm going to have my morning coffee, but that'll be it for the day. That's what I'm hearing from the Lord anyway, for me. Right? I'm almond milk. I think I'm going to be laying aside the almond milk and probably drinking a lot more water. Some of these things just sound like better ideas anyway, don't they? Right? So for me, it's almost going to be like I'll be eating more like I should be eating. Amen. I ate no pleasant food, no meat nor wine came to my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. That's the pattern we're going with. Monday, February 5th through, somebody say through. Saturday night, the 24th at midnight, I'm having a donut. No. No, it's through Sunday, the 25th. Hallelujah. That's the finish line, amen? And we're going to be believing God for awesome breakthroughs. And just quickly on the notes that I gave you for, he called it the fasting checklist, and I really like this. These are good things to remember, and you can keep this through the month. We'll probably be referring to these things off and on through the month. Next week is Super Bowl Sunday, so I'll probably be wearing a jersey, and we'll, you know, have fun, all that kind of thing. But we're going to be doing this right through, you know, the next 3 weeks. And he says this, number one, decide the purpose of your fast. Don't just start fasting without knowing why are you fasting and praying, right? And the scripture he uses, John 14:26, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. So we're partnering with the Holy Spirit in this, right? Why are we fasting? Well, Pastor George, after seeking the Lord himself, has 7 points that we are coming into alignment and agreement with corporately, with literally a lot of other believers around the world. Number one is we're believing God for an awakening to God in the body of Christ. That's a big word, awakening. An awakening to God in the body of Christ. How many know it's good if the church realizes who they are in Jesus and remembers what the Bible says about a lot of things? Amen? And lives accordingly. Amen? Number two, an awakening to God in Israel, the Jewish nation. Amen. A move of God, an awakening to God in the nation of Israel. Number three, an awakening to God in America and the nations of the world. I mean, these are our prayer points. These very well may be our preaching points for the next few weeks, right? Number four, the 2024 November elections. Hallelujah. No shenanigans. Amen. No tricks. Hallelujah. The right people elected and the wrong people ejected. Amen. Number six, personal breakthroughs, answers, direction, and clarity. Oh, excuse me, I skipped number five. Number five, breakthroughs for the church. Breakthroughs for the ministry. They're believing for breakthroughs for Kenneth Copeland Ministries and Eagle Mountain, but breakthroughs in our church. Amen. We're believing God for property, buildings, ministries, the right people. Hello, you're all the right people. But there's a lot of people that just have hard hearts out there that don't want to hear it. Whether it's, you know, regarding any church. So we're believing God for breakthrough in the church. Hallelujah. And then number six, personal breakthroughs, answers, direction, and clarity. And Pastor George said in regards to these things, take time, go before the Lord and ask him, why am I fasting personally? What am I believing for personally? Is it a health breakthrough? Is it a financial breakthrough? Some sort of breakthrough in the family? Write it out and even have a scripture or two that goes along with it. In fact, if you have the handout that I provided from Eagle Mountain, he actually has it all. You can just fill in the blanks right there. It's helpful, and then keep it in a notebook or with your Bible. Amen? So in other words, you don't want to just go into this cold turkey. You want to seek the Lord regarding it. And some of this may develop as we fast. It's not like I have to have everything figured out before tomorrow. No. This tomorrow might be part of seeking him. Lord, what am I fasting about personally? Praying in the Spirit about that. Listening for the Holy. He'll speak to you. Amen. And then number seven, to prepare for all that is coming. Amen. We're staying a step ahead of the devil here, right? Hallelujah. In fact, you know, one of the things, I'll come back to that in a minute. The second thing he says on the fasting checklist is to identify what you are going to fast. How many think that's a good idea? Because on a 21-day Daniel fast, you're not fasting from all food, right? No, you're just asking the Lord, Lord, what would you have me to fast? And it's usually pretty obvious, some of the things. What do I crave? What do I really, really enjoy? I've heard Pastor Greg say it this way. What's that one or two things you feel like you can't live without? And even if you just reduce it or modify it in some way, it's a step of faith. For him, he said it was Dr. Pepper. By the way, that's another thing. No soda for me. Amen. I like my Diet Dr. Pepper, Diet Pepsi with dinner or, you know, on Fridays or whatever. And then I don't sleep much at night because it keeps me awake. But I enjoy it. Well, I'm putting it aside for this fast, right? So you ask the Lord specific, or if it's something that you're watching, you know, or, you know, whatever, an activity you enjoy, those kind of things, right? In Hebrews 12:1, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us. Are there entanglements in your life? Are there people in your life that are bound, or issues in your life that you seem like you just can't figure it out? Pastor George called it the ball of yarn. He says the Lord knows how to untangle that ball of yarn in your life. And the fasting and prayer seasons will bring breakthrough in these areas. Somebody say it will bring breakthrough. And he said one other thing to watch is the devil will come after a fasting time and he'll tell you, see, nothing happened, it didn't work, don't ever fast again. So we got to blow the devil's lies aside, right? Amen. Number three, proclaim the fast before the Lord. Well, guess what, church? I'm here today as the pastor to say we are proclaiming a fast, a time of fasting and prayer before the Lord. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 3, Jehoshaphat, the king of Israel back then, or Judah, he feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout Judah. Why? Because they were about to be wiped off the face of the earth. And they needed God's intervention. So these are the words that we can say, that you can declare, pray about it, make sure you're in. But if you're in, you take some time and declare, this is from Pastor George. Father, with you as my helper, I proclaim this fast. I commit to it fully. I make the quality decision to humble my flesh for the next 21 days. Now, there's been times where I've fasted that I forgot I was fasting. And I'll eat something. That doesn't ruin the whole fast. Doesn't mean, well, might as well just eat everything now. No. Just remind yourself. We're human beings, right? You remind yourself, yeah. Put that aside. You might have to modify what you're shopping for because it'll go bad or give it away. That's what Brother Copeland said too. He said, in times of fasting, consider setting aside an offering that you would have spent on that coffee or that this or that and give it to feed the hungry. Buy peanut butter or whatever, you know? These are good concepts. Amen. The next thing, number four, believe you receive your rewards, the results that you're looking for now by faith. Mark 11:24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and ye shall have them. Fasting, he was talking about, is a way to assist your faith in receiving things from the Lord. So we just declare in Jesus' name as we enter into this time of fasting that we believe we receive what we're fasting for and we take it by faith in the name of Jesus. Three more points. The next one, minister to the Lord during the fast. Acts 13:2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I called them. Spend time with Jesus more while we're fasting. Worship, turn on the worship music. Amen. Watch a broadcast. Just get quiet before. That's the one thing about when you're not eating as much is your insides just kind of get quiet. I remember this when literally I almost had acid reflux and felt like I was going to throw up in someone's front yard one day while I was doing a job. And the Lord helped me. Nothing happened. But he reminded me the night before I was in a habit of eating chips and salsa and Diet Pepsi before I went to bed. And he helped me to change the time. Don't eat past this. And I'll tell you what, I realized a few days later, I was like, man, I slept good last night. I wasn't even sleeping. because you're constantly just digesting, and you know what I'm saying? So you get quiet. Fasting is a time to just get quiet on the inside before the Lord, and we hear him more clearly. Fasting doesn't change God, it changes us. Our ability to hear his voice becomes fine-tuned and sharpened, and that's really important. Amen? And valuable. Minister to the Lord during the fast. And then next one, minister to others in your time of fasting and prayer. Isaiah 58:10, if you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light shall dawn in the darkness, and the darkness in your darkness shall be as the noonday. Satisfy the afflicted soul. Encourage somebody. Preach the gospel. Love somebody. Give an extra offering here and there. Amen. Look, instead of walking around like we're moping, oh, Steve didn't get his donut again. That's been 3 days now since Steve has had a donut. And I get an attitude about it. No. Look for someone to encourage. Share your faith. Use your social media to share your faith. Share a broadcast or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Just set an extra offering aside. Think about bringing the gospel to somebody else. Fasting is also a time of preparation for greater ministry, he brings up. Luke 4:14, and after his fast, Jesus returned in the power of the Holy Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him throughout all the region round about. So fasting is a time where we're going to be watching for increase in the ministry. Amen. For God to reach more people with his power and his love. And then finally, expect assistance from angels. I love this, right? Matthew 4:11. Then the devil left him. This is after Jesus' fast. And behold, angels came and ministered to him. Angels are amazing. Supernatural beings. And I don't know why, if it's because when we're fasting, we feel like we're closer to death. It shouldn't be that big of a strain, right? But you just get more in tune with the supernatural, right? Because your body is, and sometimes might be like, oh. Because what I'm talking about, really, are things that make me feel full. So I may not feel full much, but I will fulfill what we need to fulfill. And you know, while we were worshiping and we got this bright day and cars drive by and you see this light kind of shooting across, I thought about angels. I'm not saying that's angels. I'm just saying they're here and they move really quick and they're waiting for orders. And when you fast and pray and seek the Lord and you're, you know, speaking those words of faith, they get into action. And just the light darting around in here should remind you they're involved. And they can take the devil out so quick. And believe me, they want to. The devil and his followers are the nemesis of the angelic hosts of heaven because they were angels. They would like nothing more. And they're looking forward to it because they know it's in the Word too. When they throw them all into the pit of hell, man. So our fasting and our praying and seeking the Lord, I mean, it's gonna be a wonderful time of breakthrough. And we're just going to see God do amazing things. And not only that, but after the time goes by, the effects of it just keep going. Just keep going. Like a ripple effect, like when you throw a stone in the water. Those ripples just go and go and go and go. Amen? Praise, praise, praise the Lord. Let's all stand up and thank the Lord for his word today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So, Father God, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you for your word to us today, for your promises to us. And Lord, as we seek your face regarding this time of fasting and prayer, as we press into it, we thank you, God, that there will be many, many breakthroughs in other people's lives, in our own lives, financially, in health, in marriages, in ministries, in businesses, and just in every area, God, of our lives, and of our nation, and of Israel. We lift these things up to you, Lord, and we commit ourselves as we move forward to be in that attitude of prayer during this time of fasting as well. And we give you the praise for all these things in advance, Father God. Thank you for EMIC and the Pearsons and the Copelands and so many others that hear from you, God, and share these things with the body of Christ. And we commit ourselves, God, to this time, to you. Hallelujah. I just feel like the Lord is saying that there'll be a laying aside of weights. In some cases, it'll be our own weight, our own body weight, but spiritual weight, emotional weight, that we're laying it aside. And pressing into the power of God. Hallelujah. And we'll give you all the praise for this in advance, Father, in Jesus' name.